Oftentimes in our lives, we face rivers, challenges that come our way that really define how we're going to live our lives, what's going to happen in our lives. And no doubt, if you look back and reflect on your own life, you can reflect back at different moments where things were dramatically challenging. And it's interesting today because we come to a place in the Bible where God's people had to reflect on 40 years of disobedience and wandering with the reality that they were going to experience something that only God could provide for them, but they faced one great challenge to get there. They had to go across that river. The river was in flood stage, and some estimates are that that river was up to a mile wide. And so their choice to go across that particular time, designed by God, was also at the most difficult time for them to imagine experiencing that kind of river. And as you study this particular text, and today we're going to see something, what happens when we face our rivers, what happens when we step into the water, what happens when we experience what God intends for our lives. And I was reflecting back in preparation for this message and reflecting back to about 13 and a half years ago when One Heart was just an idea that obviously it was a moment in our lives where we faced the great river. And it's interesting and intriguing to look back at that particular season of life because there were others standing beside us who also could see the river, but they had to get in the water as well. It couldn't just be one person in the water. They had to get in that water as well. And I can remember going through that chapter and realizing that across this water is direction. We just have to be willing to step into it. We have to be willing to go after what it is that God has for it. None of us would have ever estimated in September and October of 2005 that someday we'd be using this beautiful baptistry, or someday we'd be gathered together to worship with a family that's expanded, with lives that have been transformed. But God knew all that. It just took an act of faith. It took being willing to step into the water. And it's interesting because at the same time of the birth of One Heart, I got a call from a friend of mine. He said, I have a dear friend who is in despair. He doesn't know how to process the things that are coming his way. He is cycling down so quickly that if someone doesn't intervene inside of him, then he may not have the hope to make it through what he's going through. And so began to counsel this man who was at the edge of despair. And watch this carefully, because here's what I want to contrast throughout the message today. As you live through life, you will face rivers all through your life, different moments, different time. All those rivers, watch this, will either lead to direction or lead to despair. They either lead you to where God wants you to go, or you stay on the riverbank and you cry, oh, poor me, and you miss all that God intended for you. And so today, as you think about that, my friend that I told you about that I met with for 2 years, I tried to help and guide and develop. And last week, he called and took me to lunch, and we were having a wonderful lunch, and he was reflecting back on the experiences of what transpired during those days. And it's interesting, by the way, in your darkest days, if you look at the brightest light, you'll find hope in the midst of that. And he kept looking at the hope that rests in the name of Jesus that would carry him forward, even though things looked despairing around him. And the lunchtime was a moment of gratitude, of thanks to God for what he only could do. And what I want you to see today is this: for the people of God, for those who faced that great river, they understood something. Only God could carry them through that. Only God could carry them through that, and God had to be present. That's why 16 times you see reference in chapters 3 and 4 of Joshua, where all of a sudden the ark is brought to light. The ark, the symbol of the presence of God, is at work in all their lives. And listen carefully, we all need to know he's present with us. We all need to know he's working inside of us. We all need to know that he has something for us. And when I think about that reflective thought, you and I, watch this, if we can learn to identify the rivers we're facing, we can learn how to overcome them. We can learn how to deal with them the right way. And that's exactly what transpires in this particular text. If you have your Bible, open to Joshua chapter 3. And as you're opening there, I want you to think about this and make it personal for you. I just identified two rivers that I walked through 13 years ago. One was a man in despair. Another was a pastor looking for direction. Out of those two things becomes a part of our life story. We begin to learn things and discover things. And here's what you discover. If you can identify the river you faced, you can learn how to walk in the water. But if you let the river overwhelm you, let the river flood you, then you end up missing what it is that God intended for you. So today, as you think about your own life, your own journey, can you identify that river? Can you say, I can remember that moment, that time. I can think back across all these years of life and remember all the despairing moments. I can remember as a teenager wondering where God was in the midst of growing up in an alcoholic home. And I can remember knowing that in the midst of all that, that God would be faithful. He would meet me at the point of my need and that light would shine. I can remember when my wife and I got married and then we were told we couldn't have kids. And I can remember how God intervened as we stepped into the water and trusted God beyond what anyone else had said. And I can remember as I sat today with my little granddaughter, I was thinking about the mother of that little girl is the price that, or the blessing that came out of walking and stepping into the river and trusting God that it would make that barren woman a happy mother of children. And my wife claimed that promise. And so what you discover is we all have these different river moments. And in Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, notice what transpired. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel sat up from Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp and commanded the people, saying, "Where you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." Note that phrase, "you have not passed this way before," which tells you something. You may go through a trial you never thought you'd go through, but in the midst of going through that, that's where God meets you and blesses you and helps you and guides you and strengthens you. In this room are people who've had amazing stories of how God has met them at their river, in the middle of that river on dry ground because their faith was strong. That's what is happening here. Verse 5, then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall moreover command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, 'When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan.'" And then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "By this you shall know the living God is among you, and he will surely dispossess from before you all these different groups." Verse 13, "And it shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the water of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap." And so the people went out, set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And when they had carried the Ark, they came in the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows its banks all the days of harvest. And the waters which are flowing down from above stood up and rose up in one heap a great distance away at Adam, 10 miles away. This city that is beside Zarethan, and those which were flowing down towards the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho, and the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until the entire nation had crossed the Jordan. How many people went across? Between 2 and 2.5 million people. Now, think about that in scope of what we're talking about here. Here are 2.5 million people, all of which have to walk out. Now, by the way, if you're 2,498,000, you probably don't have much to fret about because you've seen the dust of the riverbed. But for the people on the front side of that journey, they had to see what was going on and realize that this was a moment in which they were going to encounter a living God who would meet them at the point of their most dynamic and challenging need. Watch this. What does he do? He sets in motion 3 days of preparation. Those 3 days set in motion for them having to walk to the right place, because it's interesting. God told Joshua exactly where to cross, and as he crosses, everybody in Jericho will watch it because they're crossing over where Jericho can see it. Can you imagine a mass of humanity, 2 or 2.5 million people coming across the river, and they're coming across, and they're looking out across those walls of Jericho, the double-walled city. They're looking across those walls thinking, "God just held that water up. God just held that up." And listen carefully. It may seem as like it's flooding in your world, but if you step out in faith and choose to be faithful, he will meet you at the point of your need, and he'll help you experience what only he could do. So there's a principle here, because every river is an opportunity for us to see beyond what we see and live by faith. Every river we face is an opportunity for God to show us something that we are going through that we can't see completely, but our faith will carry us forward. I had no idea. I had no idea that in the summer of 2013 that we would have the privilege and joy of facing the river of being able to merge together and become one family and impact in even a greater fashion, have this beautiful facility and have this beautiful opportunity to touch lives and bless children and bless teenagers and bless our adults. And yet, what happened there? It was all set in motion by God. God had a plan, and it superseded what we could see. Listen carefully. You may be facing something you do see, and you don't understand it. What about what you don't see? Because the things you don't see are the places where your faith becomes real and becomes evident for you. And so today, as you think about your own journey, as you think about your own faith, what would happen if you look at the next river as an opportunity beyond what you see to watch Him work, to watch Him move? Even in this service today, as I was watching my son play drums, I was reminded of the river we faced with his life. The river we faced that seemed like it was so overwhelming that there was no way to turn. It looked like death was the only answer for his life. He stood on the edge of death more than one time. It looked like there was no other answer except for a praying, believing people of the One Heart Church who stepped into the river with me and Cindy and believed that God could do anything. And when I watch him play drums, when I watch his little children smile at him, when I watch the God of heaven speak to his heart, when I watched him walk into church last Sunday, and he came in and he put his Bible down beside me, he said, "Dad, I want to sit by you today." And if any of you noticed that, that's not happened in a lot of years and since he was a kid. And so the next day I sent him a note, I said, "It meant a lot to me for you to be sitting beside me at church." And he wrote me back and said, "Dad, I love you. You're my hero." And I'm going to tell you something. If you'd lived through the years when he was making big choices that were bad, he never called me a hero. He called me a heel and many other things, but never a hero. That was not his terminology. And I can recall so vividly different moments where crossing that river, believing that God was with him. And I'll tell you, in this room, there's some people who prayed and interceded. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. Prayer opens the door to cross any river. You just have to be willing to yield yourself to him and experience what he has for you. So, in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, on the screen it says 5:3, but it's 3:5. You'll notice something very significant. Because Joshua says to people, "Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Now, this idea of wonders has to do with something that's so astonishing that it's overwhelming, so astonishing that it transforms even how you think about what you're facing at that moment. And what it does is it allows you to see that as he meets you at the point of your need, the way you get there at these astonishing wonders is you learn how to consecrate yourself. In other words, to set apart your life to accomplish what only God could do. So think about it. If you start learning how to set apart your life and say, "Lord, I want to live a holy life. I want to live in connection with you. I want to have the courage to become everything that you want me to be." You see, they were facing something that took them in a place they never dreamed they'd be. They faced a river that was flooding, and they faced an enemy. They faced king upon king, kingdom upon kingdom, all of which were challenging the opportunity they had before them. And what we learn, though, is God is faithful to his promises. And God was faithful to guide them as they crossed that river. And so here's what you discover. The courage to conquer demands for each one of us one prerequisite. And it's the prerequisite of consecration. Because what happens here is that Joshua says to people, "We can do all this if you're just willing to stop and consecrate yourself to experience what I have for you." And consecration is that setting apart our lives to just pursue what is holy, to pursue what matters the most. And so there are three things that happen in chapter 3 that set in motion, by the way, the sacrifice of what they have to do, beginning in verse of chapter 4 and chapter 5. There's some significant things that happen in their life. And here's what you discover. This story is just as applicable today as it was when they were living through it, because God records it for us from a perspective that allows us to see that you and I need to be wise enough to do three very distinctive things. The first one is this: seek the wisdom to wait, because they had 3 days there. They had to wait 3 days. Now I want you to imagine, you're camped out there, and you're thinking, "Oh man, We're facing a big challenge here. But that waiting was the wisest thing they could do. Because in those 3 days, they had to cleanse themselves, they had to prepare themselves, they had to purify their heart, they had to surrender anything that could get in the way of that. Because, listen, they had watched everybody who had disobeyed die in the wilderness. All of their lineage, it went back behind them. Those who doubted what God could do, they missed it. And listen, you want to live a life of faith? You want to live a life committed to His purpose? You want to live a life accomplishing what He intends? Live a life of faith and experience what God intends for your life. Wait on Him. Have the wisdom to wait. Because they started waiting, and God began to allow them to learn a couple lessons. One was waiting allowed them to assess the challenges they were facing. I mean, all of a sudden they go, whoa, 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 whoa. We are facing some big challenges here. But listen, no challenge was so big that God couldn't solve it. And you may be facing some things you think, man, these are so big. These are big rocks to push. And yet the reality is no challenge is so big that God can't equip you to be able to conquer that and face it and experience it the way God intended. That's why the very reason, by the way, that we're offering this month as well as March and April, 3 men's Bible studies on Saturdays. Our Give Me 3 focus this year is making wise choices. And that's the first study we look at, how important it is that we choose wisely what it is God has for us. And so they had this opportunity to be able to make an assessment. Go, okay, what do we do? Which, by the way, if you'll notice, you read the text, you realize something. Joshua said, pick these certain number of men. Joshua said, I want you to do these certain things. I want you to, the priest, I want you to carry the ark into the water. I want you to step both feet into the water. Which, by the way, here's what you learn too. If you put one foot in direction and one foot in despair, what happens? You'll be disillusioned. Because what happens is you start going, well, I really want to follow what God has for me, but I'm really scared what I'm going to face. And what happens? We ultimately get disillusioned. So my encouragement to you today is this. Step into experiencing what God intended for you. Step into the water completely and watch what He does inside of your life. The second thing you see, though, not just did you have the opportunity to make an assessment, but you'll see here that they were waiting for very precise instructions. And that instructions were governed over a couple really key variables. Because what happens here is that God's going to use the ark, all right? And He's going to use the ark to remind them of His holy presence, all right? And so what you discover is He's given these instructions in order to facilitate their experience in life so that they can experience what God intended for them. And listen, He gives us an instruction book for a reason. He gives us this book to equip our lives, to speak to our hearts and lives, to allow us to hear Him speak to our hearts every single day. That's what this book is really all about. And so they had the opportunity to be able to have very precise instruction. And there were only two instructions He gave them. One was follow His presence. Follow the ark. That was the first instruction. And the second instruction was quite clear. Keep the distance on your new journey of faith. And I'm going to tell you what you discover here. What Joshua says is, do not find yourself moseying up too close to the ark thinking that's your buddy that you're looking at. That's holy God. Keep the distance of exactly these feet. Don't get any closer than that. Why? Because He wanted us to be able to have the right perspective. And listen, when we see God for who He is, when we see God for what He can do, when we see God for how He speaks, and we see God for how He meets our need, when we see God for how He answers our prayer, out of that comes an awareness that we should always see Him as holy. We should always see Him as the God who ordered out the steps of our life. And so be wise enough, as you think about your own life, be wise enough to wait for His instruction, be wise enough to wait to look at Him in the right direction and to look at the right distance, because out of that is going to come a great life. Second thing you see, look if you would. In verse 5, Joshua does a couple things. He says to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will be wonders among you. And then he says to the priest, verse 6, and Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. And it's interesting what he does here, because what he does is he sets in motion them making commitment to be prepared properly for what they're going to face. And he addresses the people. And he addresses the priest, all right? The people have an assignment, exactly what they're supposed to do, and the priests have an assignment, what they're supposed to do, which tells you something. We all have assignments from God. We have to accept those assignments to be able to experience what He intended for our life. And what you discover is, what does He say to the people? Prepare your heart for something you never imagined would happen. I'm going to tell you, when I think about God's intervention in all of our lives, where He meets us at the point of our need and speaks to our... His intervention is the most powerful, beautiful thing. What's he trying to say? Prepare your heart. prepare your heart for this. And he told the people, consecrate yourself, for the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. Let me ask you a question. I read a great study this week that was a profound study. It was a study done by the University of Arizona, and it was studying what happens when you have a profoundly definitive faith as it relates to sleep. And it's interesting what the study said. For a person whose heart rests on God, in fact, I wrote down exact words. I wanted to quote those words to you, because here's what the study said. A person with an unshakable faith and relationship with God tends to sleep longer, fall asleep faster, and feel more rested when they wake up. So when you read that, you go, well, what that means is faith anchors someone. Well, by the way, it's not talking about the physiological dynamics of different parts of life where we don't sleep as much. It's talking about the quality of our assurance. And what these secular studies, the sociologists and others were studying, they were studying, is there something to this idea of faith and how it correlates to how we rest? Because watch this, if we rest well, watch this, we serve well. But if we don't rest well, we have a hard time being able to serve and accomplish what God intended. And so here's what I want you to think about for a moment, all right? You have a tent on the wilderness side of the Jordan River. And it's your last night in that tent before you face everything that's coming at you. Because you know something. It's not going to be easy. I mean, look at all those people they have to face. They have to face all these different groups. Like if you go to verse 10, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Jebusite, the Termite, everybody. They're facing all of them. And they're all coming at them, and they're having to face up and deal with all those things. But watch this. I can't help but believe when they understood that Joshua represented God, he spoke for God, he spoke what it was they were supposed to do. They laid down in their tents realizing the battle's going to be great, but the victory is even going to be greater. And listen carefully. I want you to keep in mind today, your battle may be great, but your victory will always be greater. Because when you experience knowing and trusting him, it just changes how you live your life. The priest had another instruction. The priests were given very clear instruction, move by faith. In other words, you don't get to see what's going to happen in that river. You just step out into it, and then you put that ark right out there where everybody can see it. And they put that ark out in the middle of that river, and they stood there on dry ground. It took faith to do that. And listen, anything you face that has consequence to it, it demands faith. You have to be willing to say, Lord, I trust you no matter what. One final thing, and we're finished. If you think about it for a moment, they had to have the wisdom to wait. They had to follow instructions very carefully in order to experience what God intended. They had to be willing to step out into that river. But as a result of that, they got a chance to be able to experience what God intended, because in verse 7, you'll notice what transpired. Now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall moreover command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. How do you listen? How do you learn to listen to the one who knows you best? Step out in faith and experience that in a way only God could. What did Joshua learn in these few words that God said to him? Number one, he knew God was with him. And listen, you may be facing something. God is with you no matter what it is you're facing. You may have been given a diagnosis you never dreamed you would. You may have been given a challenge that seems too insurmountable. You may have been given a heartache you don't know how to get past. Out of all that, out of all those circumstances, he's with you. And that's exactly what Joshua needed to hear, that God was with him. The second thing you see is this. You got to exercise faith on the edge of the water. You got to exercise faith on the edge of everything you face in life. And so today, as you think about that, how do you process those challenges? How do you deal with those challenges? Because what transpires here in verse 9 and following through verse 17, what happens, they have to make one choice. And that simple choice is this. They choose to act in obedience before God. Here's my question for you today. As you think about where you are in your faith journey, how willing are you to wait? How wise are you to make good choices? How significant is your focus on what it is only God can do? Are you willing to obey? Are you willing to prepare your heart? Because he says here, consecrate your heart, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What if tomorrow is the best day of your whole life? What if you came to church today with no awareness that what's going to happen inside of you was something you couldn't calculate. That surrendering your heart to him was not some nebulous thing sitting out there in space somewhere. It was saying to him, God, I want you to be first in my life. I want you to be first in my life no matter what. So you see the reality is when you make that choice? It isn't just the outward expression that we saw through Bachelor's Day. It's the inward experience. And listen, for the people of God, they faced a great river. But you know what they did? They chose to walk across it. My encouragement to you today is simply that. Choose to walk across it. Because remember, that battle you face, your victory is even greater as you choose to walk with him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your amazing word that guides us and speaks to our hearts. Thank you for the opportunity to be inside of your house on this day. Lord, we come with great excitement because we know you'll meet us at the point of every need that we have in life. You're faithful. You guide us. You speak to us in ways that we couldn't calculate. You're the one who's ordered our steps out and numbered our days and governed our hearts to accomplish what you intend. And Lord, today, there could be someone here who needs to cross the river. Cross the river into salvation, cross the river into membership, cross the river into dedication, cross the river into repentance. Whatever it is, Lord, that they're facing, you're there speaking to their heart right now. So, Lord, I pray you would guide them to make the wisest of choices to experience you. And, Lord, I trust you to do what only you can do. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.